This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, Wall Street has opened slightly in the green after the shares on the main bourses over in the US closed lower on Friday. They did hit record highs intraday thanks to signals from the Fed that it may cut interest rates sooner to bolster the US economy from the protracted trade war. And investors, I think, are nervously awaiting an expected meeting between Presidents Donald Trump and Xi Jinping later this week for any signs of de-escalation in that trade war that is damaging the global economy. We saw China's Vice Commerce Minister Wang Xiaowen saying this morning that China and the US should be willing to make compromises in trade talks and not just insist only on what each side wants. The art of the deal. Well, anyway, the JSE All Share ended Friday flat. We did end last week up 1.28% for the week. That's our fourth consecutive week of gains last week. How did we start this week? Well, not that great. In the red early this morning, and we seem to stay there for most of the day as I look over at my screen now. Ending the day down, call it 0.3% at 58,756 points. Liston Mainchies, has your view from the market? Liston, it feels like an age since we last spoke. Are you looking well?
Well, we certainly had one Monday as a public holiday, and that was, it feels like a long time ago. But, well, actually, it was only a week ago.
Now, a focus this week, it was the other Monday as well when I was in Poland. But anyway, focus this week shifts from central banks to politicians. Obviously, we've got the G20 meeting setting the scene and should shape markets this week. What are you anticipating?
Well, again, you know, rhetoric is the big thing, whether it be at the G20 or whether it be our State of the Nation address. You know, words are cheap. We have to see the action. And it doesn't look that good as they're going into it, because there are all kinds of extra items that are wanted to be discussed, like the the bill in Hong Kong for deporting people, and China has said that's not on the table. So they're firm enough on one item. And of course, then we've got the Iran story, and I guess a lot of people don't want to discuss that either. So it's going to be quite an interesting theme of where they really put the emphasis. And of course, the other one that ought to come up and generally comes up, new evidence, global warming. So, as I say, maybe Trump and Xi are going to be a sideshow.
The one thing that surprised me, in Warsaw, the day that we left, it was the hottest city in Europe, just under 40 degrees, and we see now France in the grip of a heat wave, Germany as well, and you know, obviously that part of sort of central and Western Europe is experiencing firsthand the impact of climate change. But I want to come back to the US president, because there was a very interesting story out late in the day. His advisor, he's from the State Department, Tibor Nagy. He's currently on an official visit to South Africa, and he was speaking to Bloomberg, and he said he's on a watching brief for President Trump just to have a look at how AGOA countries are protecting private property rights, just as we're talking about expropriation without compensation. Interesting, that, Liston.
Well, it is. Again, I think Mr. Trump has not been a big fan of South Africa. The fact that he's actually sent a senior diplomat to investigate, and when you say investigate, he will have high-level meetings, and he will put forward a few of the ideas, I should think, from the tweeter-in-chief.
Tweeter-in-chief, indeed. Are we discounting some of the geopolitical risk out there at the moment, from drones being shot down and oil tankers being attacked? The Middle East does seem to be developing into quite a hotbed. When is it never, but now in particular?
Well, again, somebody asked me the other day, and they said, you know, do you think there will be war in Iran? And I said, well, if you go back to the Iraq story, you had to get permission from Congress before you could go to war. So in my opinion, there has been no such request, and therefore, even as commander-in-chief, the best he can do is to send a sortie or two and maybe a spy plane over. But if he goes to war without the permission of Congress, I think that will be the end of a democracy as we know it.
And a war with a nuclear power or Tehran that certainly has, it seems, the capability to step that up, depending on which intel you read, is certainly not where the world wants to find itself at the moment. With all of that geopolitical uncertainty, with the recent State of the Nation address seemingly disappointing markets, we saw the rand dipping below 14.30 this morning. Now around 14.37, a little bit mixed for domestics. But speaking of domestics, what did you make of that State of the Nation address?
Well, again, I think the president had to keep a lot of different people with different ideas happy. And what I will say is he didn't disappoint anybody, but he didn't make anybody deliriously happy either. And if you reconstruct that the speech, you know, you find shades of Marxism hidden with pro-business, hidden with inclusive we. So there were some really good parts to it. So again, as I said, it's a lot of words. The most important part for me out of the whole thing was the reintroducing of the NDP. Now remember, the NDP was put together by Trevor Manuel. It was tabled and approved in 2012, and in 7 years nothing has happened really. So that's the part I want to see. You have to actually say, it says this and we're going to. And sure enough, he said, we're going to do this. Over 10 years we'll halve the violent crime. Golly, I'm not impressed. And we, over the next 5 years, we want every child of age 10 able to read. Talk about underwhelming.
Underwhelming from a very, very low base. If you look at that Pearls report, it found that 80% of children at around that age failed to read for meaning and failed to be able to calculate sums for a similar purpose list. And so, you know, it is coming off a very low base.
Well, we just go back to Lee Kuan Yew in Singapore, and he said we just have to have a lost generation while we move the education system up, and we have our best teachers in the lowest grade. And we take them all the way through, and at the end of that, and as you know, Singapore is now a powerhouse.
Yeah, I'm going to be chatting to Sizwet Ngasana, who said no thanks to NSFAS after all of the political interference. He's been busy putting together a fantastic example of what she can achieve in the private sector with a bit of vision and a bit of funding. So that'll be coming up on Wednesday. NSFAS, apart from the fact that the new listing, NewCo, is going to be called Prosus, which I believe is used by several brands, all to do with pig meat and pig health. Questionable branding choice that I'm sure Jeremy Sampson will have something to say later on
I'm
in the week.
I'm told it means forward in Latin.
A forward, right. What did you find interesting and forward-looking from the full year results?
Well, again, I think the big deal was that they got rid of multi-choice, so we've got to find out how much of that fed into whatever it was. But I think, you know, far more important for anybody is exactly what is going to happen if and when we get to the vote which says, you know, that they are going to list a new company in Amsterdam. And I'm not sure exactly how well it's been handled on yours and other shows, but that becomes a CGT event. And a lot of people won't realize necessarily, because no money changes hands. You get shares for shares, you think it's just a simple swap. And then at the end of the year, you'll be lumbered with a fairly sizable tax bill. So I think that needs to be looked at. Then the story, it's rather curious, is where they're blaming one of their suppliers for not getting the names to match the addresses. Now, I would have thought they were sort of 101.
That's elementary, dear Watson. But the delay is not really going to have any much of a... it's not going to have a material impact.
No, I don't think so. But more important, just the way that NSPERS is now operating and getting rid of multi-choice, it didn't really have a big effect. It was 100 rand in, you know, the totality. But now they're also doing something else and saying, we want to get the price up. Well, now, it's all very well to get the price up, but the real beneficiaries of that are the people who are the major shareholders, and often people who have options on those shares. So, but it definitely sounds to me, from a strategic point of view, with all the movement that's going on, and partly, I guess, it's a bit of pressure saying you can't be 25% of the market, chaps. It just doesn't work like that. So they're trying to reduce their influence within the South African indices. It'll be a big question as to how big they are. The new company, Prosus, is going to be the third largest on the Amsterdam stock market after Royal Dutch Shell and Unilever.
It gives you an indication of the size of predominantly Tencent, which makes up the bulk of that. Certainly chat to your financial advisor. We've covered it in the show last week on Friday, the various tax implications, CGT implications, depending on which option you take, if you're going to take NewCo or if you're going to take the existing Naspers shares that trade here on the JSE. And speaking of the shares that trade here on the JSE released what looked like a pretty big profit warning today, guiding that there's going to be a 25 to 35% fall in profits. And just a quote from the SENS here, decline in the key activity drivers in the main asset classes traded on the exchange, in particular, lower value traded in the market. It's seen 28 billion in net foreign sales and muted local investor activity. Well, we've been talking about this the whole year, Liston. Why then? And it's likely to get worse when Naspers moves offshore. But why then haven't we seen the JSE share price respond? Perhaps we would have expected more of a downward move. It's a fairly resilient counter, this.
Well, I think people may have to take a bit of time to understand fully what got said. But exactly your point, and I've heard it on your show many times, the volumes have been down. And that's truly the lifeblood of the stock market. Yes, there are all kinds of additions and extra things, but don't forget also that there's now at least one viable alternative in the form of A2X. Mm. So some other dealing is taking place. It's local dealing, but it's taking place on a different exchange. So I remember when A2X announced that they were arriving, and people said, they'll never make it. No, JSE doesn't have to worry. I'm now beginning to think maybe the JSE should have worried.
And it's all about the time it takes to execute, and also the difference in that bid offer spread. And they're better on both fronts. So I don't think any industry, listen, is immune to technology allowing a better value proposition to the end user. And what are markets at the end of the day but a meeting place for buyers and sellers? And if the A2X crowd and others can offer a better value proposition, well, then you're not safe, even if you've had a so-called monopoly entrenched position for several years.
The joke is that the actual settlement is all still done through the JSE because nobody's able to offer that same item with degrees of safety and controls.
Yet. Now, anything else that caught your eye on SENS today? There was quite a lot from the macro side globally. We saw Erdogan's party suffering a blow. People questioning now whether we might be seeing the end of Erdogan. There's protests in Prague. What caught your eye?
Well, I think more importantly, just back to Turkey. They've been going through a terrible patch, and of course their currency is in the same basket as us, emerging market currencies, and they're not that far away from us in time zone. So it's anything that will help the lira, in my opinion, ought to help the rand. So I watch Turkey not for Erdogan, I watch it for the rand.
For its correlation to our own rattler, the rand.
Yeah, well, again, you mentioned it, we've had a bit of a seesaw, whipsaw, and did the State of the Nation actually assist? And I would actually go as far as to say yes. So that's what I think the foreigners are looking at and saying, well, do other people see some positivity? And by the way, the other big one that we have coming out at some point in time is going to be our first interest rate cut in goodness knows how long.
Yeah, and following the cuts that are expected by the Fed and the ECB as well, all about central banks at the moment. Liston Mainsheese with your jaundiced eye sometimes from the market. Katleho has your traffic after this short break.